Well, good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus. It fills me with joy to see each one of you here today. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those who are worshiping via live stream. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing. Ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing." These two verses tell us that God delights in us and that he has joy for us. And we can be filled with his strength because of his love that he has for us. We can be filled with the strength of the Lord. And we can be filled with his joy. So praise him this morning for his love, for all the things that he has done for us, and all the promises that he has made to us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for loving us and caring for us and giving us your strength to walk through each day, even when it seems overwhelming. Help us to receive your love and just fill us with your joy, and let our praise of you express our love that we have for you. Lord, thank you for the time that we had this week to celebrate our nation's independence, and thank you for the freedom that we could come here this morning and worship your holy name. I lift up our leaders. I just pray that you will fill them with your wisdom and that you will lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand and worship with us, and the ushers can come forward to lift the offering during this first song, which is for the Pastoral Support Fund, and there's My Coins Count for the children.
Holy, holy is he. Okay, let us pray. So, Father, we just turn to you this morning. And this morning, Father, we give you our all. That is our whole heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, our whole being. We devote ourselves to you, Father. And through that, teach us exactly how we need to love everyone around us, including ourselves. You show us the way. You guide us through this. We have no idea what we're doing, but you know it all, Father. So you show us exactly what we need to be doing, and we give ourselves to you, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
You know my heart, and you call me by name. Finish the
Thank you that we could gather here this morning to praise your name. Thank you for all that you have done for us and for who you are. Thank you for the work of your hand, both in creation and in your work of salvation. Thank you for saving us, Lord. We praise you, and I pray that you would be with us the rest of this morning, that you would speak to us and move in our hearts, and that we would just grow in our trust for you and live for you more every day, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
It's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We're going to be on this side today. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Are you guys enjoying your summer?
Yes.
How many of you like to go swimming? How many of you went swimming this past week when it was so hot? It's a lot of fun, right? So how many of you know how to swim really good? We got one who knows how to swim pretty good. Did you learn to swim the first time you got in the water? Unless someone just threw you in and said, start swimming. But most of the time, we usually don't learn to swim by just first time we get thrown into the water. As a kid, you might wear one of those puddle jumper things and float around and kick your feet. And then you might move on to wearing the inflatable swimmies on your arms. And what's the first swimming stroke that you usually learn? It's the doggy paddle, right? You just kind of move your arms and your feet and you just keep your head above the surface, right? But as you grow and you swim more and more, you get better at it, right? It's just like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it, right? It's like riding a bike or anything else. Soon you're jumping off the diving board and you're racing across the pool against other people just for fun. Did you know that Olympic swimmers, they train like 3 to 4 hours a day in a pool, swimming back and forth? That's a lot of swimming, right? Every day, 3 to 4 hours a day. That's a lot of hard work and exercise, isn't it? But that doesn't even include the weight training that they do, lifting weights and other things, and all the stretching that they do. They spend like an hour a day stretching. Maybe I should do that. That would probably be good for me. But did you know that learning how to swim, it's the same as learning the Bible? You start as a child. You hear it in Sunday school. Your parents read the Bible to you, or your grandparents. As you grow older, you learn more, and when you learn to read, you can start reading it yourself, even though you don't really understand a lot of it. But when you become teenagers and then adults, you can read more of the Bible and understand more. And the more you read, the closer you get to God. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. The Bible is good for us. It's good for us to know, because when we know what the Bible says, it can lead us and guide us no matter what we face. And it can help us to get to know God better. And as we read it, the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to show us what God wants us to do. And He answers questions as we read the Bible. So remember, anytime you hear or read the Bible is a good thing. It's good to put that in your heart and in your mind. And God can use that to help us each day. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and you can have a snack, and you may head back to your seats. So shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these children. Bless them. Help them to know your word. And when they hear it and read it, show them who you are and draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to invite Mose to come forward. This is not the first time that Moses King has been here. He is here on behalf of the Gideons, and he's going to share some of the work that they do. How long have you been a part of the Gideons organization?
Don't know the years, but since 1986.
Since 1986, okay.
Yeah,
so
it's a little while.
We look forward to hearing how God has changed people's lives. Yeah. I'd like to pray for you, so will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Moses. I just pray that you would give him the words to speak. And I just pray that you give him a boldness to share the message that you have laid on his heart. And I pray that you would touch our hearts this morning, drawing all of us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Tony. Well, yes, it's a privilege and an honor to be here this morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and share the power of God's Word. That's what I want to share this morning. The power of God's Word and how the Holy Spirit uses that living Word to convict people of their sin and bring them into the kingdom. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of the heart." I'm amazed how God reveals himself to people who have never read a Bible, but in their lowest point in life, they find a living Word and find new life. I want to share a testimony of a man that I know personally. I've met him, I think, four times, by the name of Elliot Osowit. Now, Elliot Osowit grew up in a home. He had one sister, and his mother was Jewish, and she told him and his sister never to read that Christian Bible. It's bad. It's poison. Don't ever read it. And he never did. Well, Elliot grew up, and he had a successful business. He worked for a touring company, and he traveled a lot. He had a family. He had children, but he was hardly ever home. And he said he lived an immoral life. He came home somewhere in the mid-90s one Christmas Eve, and his key didn't work in his door. So he knocked on the door, and he seen his wife coming. He had one of his windows in the door. "Polly, let me in." "No, Elliot, you're not welcome here anymore. You weren't here for me when I'm going through cancer treatments and when I'm raising our granddaughter," because her daughter was in prison. Elliot was crushed. He knew it was true. So he walked away. He walked to his pickup truck, and he drove to a motel. And he reached under his seat when he got there, and he pulled out his revolver and took it along with him in that motel. Because, you see, he wasn't planning to come back out. Well, there was a Gideon Bible like this on the nightstand. In his anger and frustration, he threw it on the floor and kicked it to go under the bed. It didn't go under the bed because the bed had one of those boards around the bottom. It bounced back and fell open. He picked it up, and here's what he read as soon as he picked that up. Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's just what he needed to hear at that time. And it gave him hope. And he said, "This is the Bible I'm not supposed to read. This is beautiful language." So he read all night. He read all night. He didn't sleep. He read all night. And he forgot about committing suicide. He called Polly and he said, "Polly, I need to talk to your pastor." Now, it's Christmas morning in northwestern North Carolina, and they had an ice storm. That pastor got up, drove in those dangerous conditions to that motel room, and shared the gospel with Elliot. Elliot stayed there 2 days and two nights reading the Bible. And then he gave his heart to the Lord. Well, Polly is a cancer survivor. And she went, and they reconciled. And she went back to work so Elliot could go to seminary. And he has been a pastor in a little church in northwestern North Carolina from that time until, I think it was about 3 years ago, I last talked to him, and I said, "How's your church going?" He says, "Oh, I'm no longer a pastor. I passed that on to someone else." He said, "Now I'm teaching Old Testament in universities." So praise God. I mean, he redeemed him, and he's using him, and he's had a wonderful life. So just amazing how the Word of God has that power to transform someone. Another very similar story is a man by the name of James Spencer from Indianapolis, Indiana. He had a young family, two children. They traveled a lot, and they stayed in motels when they traveled. And James always noticed that Bible, but he never read it. Whenever they went in a motel, he looked for it. A lot of times it's in the drawer. He'd open the drawer, and, oh, there it is, yeah. They just had a fascination with that, knowing, just finding that Bible every time they went in a motel room. Well, he had an accident at work, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. He was quadriplegic. And he got very bitter. He got very angry with God. He got very bitter. He was very mean to his wife, and she left him. She divorced him. And one day, he had a really bad day, and he decided to end it all. He had a van that he could drive. It was, you know, made for him to drive, and so he went to a motel. He took all his meds along, planning, just like Elliot, not to come back out of that motel room. He placed his meds out, and then he thought, oh, that Bible, I wonder if the Bible's here. And he looked, and then the Holy Spirit, I know it was the Holy Spirit, says, why don't you read it? So just like Elliot, he started to read it, and he found hope. And he decided not to commit suicide, and he kept reading the Bible, and several weeks later, he gave his heart to the Lord. God's Word has that power. Does the name David Berkowitz mean anything to some of you? Maybe older people like me? He had another name. The demons called him Son of Sam. He worshiped Satan, and demons controlled his life. The demons would tell him when and where to go and strangle women in New York City. David said, I took innocent lives, and I'm so deeply sorry for that. I would do anything to go back in time and change things, but it's too late. I was such a fool. Not only did I destroy the lives of others, but I also threw away my life. Now I'm doing more than 300 years behind bars, serving 6 consecutive life sentences with no hope of ever being paroled. Almost 10 years into his sentence, another inmate named Rick befriended him. And as they took their walks around the yard in the prison, Rick shared the Bible because he had received one of these little testaments when the Gideons came to that prison giving out testaments and sharing salvation with people. So he was sharing scripture with David, and he was listening. And one day he said, David, God has a plan for your life. David said, no way. Are you kidding? He said, I've been so bad. I've been so evil. God has no place for me. He said, yes, he does, David. So one day he said, I want you to take this little testament. I want you to have it. David took it, and he took it back to his cell, and he started reading it. And the word was having an impact on him. And when he got to Psalms 34, he says, the word pierced my soul. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit. Remember what I read, Hebrews 4:12? Dividing even soul and spirit? Well, that's what it was doing to David. Everything seemed to hit me at once. All the guilt I had inside. Anger, shame, feelings of being a failure, loneliness. David surrendered his life to Christ and Jesus as his Lord. Old things are passed away, all things have become new, and the evil son of Sam has been given a new name, the Son of Hope. David now has a ministry in prison, and he'll be there as long as he lives. He says, even if I could be paroled, I wouldn't accept it. I don't deserve it, and I don't want it. This is my mission. This is where God has placed me. This is my ministry, and this is where I want to be. So he's ministering to other prisoners and bringing them to a knowledge of salvation. Prison is a very fertile ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ. because many people have reached the end of their road, or they have time to contemplate and think about what they did, and they're repentive. So here's another name you might remember, Mary Kay Beard. Mary Kay Beard was raised in a dysfunctional family, although she had a Christian mother that prayed for the children regularly. But she had her father was a drunkard, and he's very abusive, especially towards Mary Kay, because she stood up against him. Mary Kay left that home at a young life and met a man that she didn't even know hardly, and married him, and he traveled all over the world, and he was rich. Well, he had a life of crime. He was a professional criminal, and she wanted to be a part of that, and she became a part of that. Well, one day they were robbing a bank, and she was holding up the teller with the sawed-off double-barrel shotgun, and she was caught on video. And so by the time she was 27, she was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list with a mafia contract out for her and outstanding warrants for her arrest in 4 states. In 1972, she was captured, tried, and sentenced for armed robbery, and while she was in solitary confinement in an Alabama jail, while reading a Gideon Bible, Mary Kay experienced a profound spiritual transformation. Now, while Mary Kay was in prison, she was moved with the compassion for the women with children. At Christmas time, they would gather anything together, little items they could find, and send it home to their children as a Christmas present. Well, Mary Kay was miraculously released from prison. I think she did 8 years or something like that. But she was facing, she thought, a lifetime, because all her charges weren't even, she wasn't sentenced for all her charges yet. But she was miraculously called up for parole. And she was nervous and scared for about a year because she thought, any day they're going to come for me. But God had a purpose for her life. She then started a ministry for Christians and churches, buying gifts so prisoners could send gifts to their children. You may know the ministry called Angel Tree. And she was at our pastor's appreciation banquet about 5 years ago, and we heard her story there. And then I bought the book called Rogue Angel. It tells of her life. It's unbelievable what she went through and how the Lord delivered her. But that's the Lord's work. That's what he does. I can think back my own life when I was very troubled. I was 26 years old. I'd made a mess of my life. I was raised up Amish. I believed in God, but I was rebellious. And I drifted so far away that I didn't think there was any hope for salvation. I wanted to know God at this point. My marriage was in shambles, but I didn't know how. I was like David Berkowitz. I didn't think God could forgive me for what I did, because I sinned against him. Well, there was a friend of mine was shot and paralyzed, and there was a local pastor in the area. He was at Mount Zion United Methodist Church in Cambridge. He was new there. He was young. It was his first church. And he was a real people person. I mean, he loved people. So he befriended my friend in the hospital and said, "Mac, when you go home, let's start a Bible study in your home." Mac said, "No way, my friends won't come." "Yeah, I think they might. Let's start a Bible study." And he said, "Well, if you want to make a fool of yourself, yeah, we'll do that." Well, I went to that Bible study, and I think it was the third time. That pastor said, "Moses, what's holding you back?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, you're paying attention when I read the scriptures. You're paying attention. The other guys are snickering and whatever. They don't care. But you're paying attention. What's holding you back from receiving the Lord?" I said, "Oh, the Lord can't forgive me. I've sinned too much." "Oh, no, no." He wrote down some scriptures. They were in John. I don't remember what they were. But I went home and read them. And the power of the Holy Spirit convicted me. I was already convicted. But he showed me that there is mercy and grace. And I kneeled down by my bed and I prayed the sinner's prayer. I said, "Lord, I don't know how, but if you're going to save me, I'm willing. I'll live for you." And my life has changed at that point. So to praise God for his word and the power of his word. I wasn't planning to share that. I guess the Holy Spirit. I hope it was. Okay, another testimony I'd like to share is a Muslim country. I can't even name the country. We're not supposed to name the countries or the Gideons there, but the Gideons were praying for this Muslim jihadist school. Now that's, you know, about as much Muslim as you can get, as strict Muslim as you can get, jihad. They wanted to get in that school. So they prayed and fasted for 2 months. And one day one of the Gideons said, "The Lord is telling me it's time to go." So he went and he knocked on the door of that school. A man came out to greet him and said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Yes, I'd like to see your headmaster." "Headmaster of the school." "Oh, okay." He took him to a man named Abraham. "Abraham, what can I do for you?" He said, "Well, first I'd like to pray for you." They prayed together for 20 minutes. The Gideon and the Muslim prayed together. And then he said, What is on your heart? What do you want?" He said, "Well, we have these little Bibles. First of all, I'd like to give you one." He said, "I'll take that." And he said, "We'd like to give it to your children." "Yeah," he said, "you can do that." Okay. Then the Gideon gave him his card and said, "If you ever want to talk to me again, call me." A couple weeks later, Abraham called. And he said that, "Gideon, I've decided to become a Christian. You see, when I was a boy, a small boy, I had one of these, and I loved it. I was reading it. I loved it. And then my mother found it, and she burned it. She said, 'That's an evil book. You can't have that.' I've been waiting all these years to get one of those books. And I've decided to become a Christian. And you can put Bibles in our school." The Gideons put Bible in the school. But Abraham had to flee for his life. They were going to kill him because he did the unpardonable sin for what they consider a sin. And he was separated from his wife and family for 6 months. And we don't know where he is today, but I think the Lord's protecting him. But that's the kind of stories we get. People in their time of trouble find the Lord. There seems to be a lot of trouble and tension in the world today. I just heard recently that in Africa, the Muslims are planning to infiltrate and persecute Christians in every country in Africa. That's their plan. Well, there's hope, because we know God's in control. Sometimes I'm tempted to question God as to why he allows these things to happen. But he has a big plan. He has a big picture. You know, if we look at history, persecution always caused the gospel to expand. And we hope that's what's happening in Africa. Every country in Africa has a Gideon ministry established there. And the Gideons are doing their work of placing God's word in the highways and byways of life, every opportunity they have. But they need our help. You see, we're in 200 countries, established 200 countries, and only 16 of those countries can raise enough money to buy the Bibles that they need for their own ministry. So it's a wonderful opportunity to help us in those countries to get the Bibles that they need to place in their places of distribution. I guess maybe I should share a little bit about the opportunities we have in our camp chapters. We call them camps. There are 8 camps in Lancaster County. We have more than any other part of the state, any other county in the state. And that's because we have so many churches like you that help us, support us, and help us buy Bibles. But we have 5 motels in our area. Every camp has a geographical area, and then they're responsible to get the Bibles in those places where we're accepted. And we have 5 motels, 1 hotel, 1 hospital, 2 rehabilitation centers. We do the doctor's office, dentist's office, all medical facilities. And the ladies do that, the auxiliary. They have their own testament to do that for the ladies. nurses and medical staff. We also do firemen and policemen, and we're very well received with the firemen and policemen, not only here, but in big cities. I just was at the Washington, D.C. Blitz about 6 weeks ago, and the firemen were very receptive, very, very glad to receive that testament that we have for them. Okay, and we do, what else we do? There's many other areas, prisons, but we don't have a prison in our camp area, so we're not involved with that. But we just heard a testimony last night of a man that came to faith through the New Holland Fair. We give Bibles out, and we do the Effort Affair, and that's a great time. We do anywhere from 700 to 1,000 there every year, meeting people on the street, and not only just offering a testimony, but get into conversations about spiritual things, you know, and help people to understand what salvation through Jesus Christ really is. So, for me, okay, I shared, I've been a Gideon since 1986, and it's been a really good experience for me. I never did any public speaking before that, and our camp had a need for church speakers, and so they had to pray about it for about 2 years before I accepted that, and I'm still learning how to do it, but it gets easier with time. And I enjoy it. I really love going to different churches and have different style worship and meeting the people. So it's been a good experience for me. So if you have any interest in being involved in this ministry, we have room for you. It's like any other ministry, you know, they always need more people. But yeah, if you have any interest, see me after the service. I'd be glad to explain what's involved with that. And so just thank you so much for what you do here as a church. And thank you for giving me the privilege to come and share with you. May the Lord bless you.
I want to be close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Thank you.
morning, everybody. A lot of you have been asking me, what's the youth group doing when they're going to Maryland for the service project this year? So if you didn't know, we're leaving right after church to go to Maryland for a week. So here's a little bit that MDS has on their website. I'll read a few lines here. It says, what happened? October 29th, 2021, a significant flooding event happened along the eastern shores of Maryland in Somerset and Dorchester counties. It impacted the Christfield and Cambridge areas of the state. The reason for the flood was high tide, full moon, and windy conditions all at the same time. Apparently they all combined to make floods. According to some local people in Christfield, this event was more damaging than Hurricane Sandy back in 2012. MDS's response after Sandy was many repair jobs and over 25 new homes built in the Christfield area. So what are we going to be doing? Well, it's my understanding that there's a couple of new homes in that area that MDS has to the point now where they're framed up, and I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. Maybe I heard some rumors about some shingles, some roofing, maybe some mechanical stuff, some drywall. I'm not exactly sure, but really, what we're actually doing there is secondary to what we're actually doing there. And yeah, so it's been my experience over the past several years going on trips like this that the spiritual growth and fellowship together and that kind of thing that happens when we go on a trip like this really is primary. So that's what we're going to be doing there, using the tools of tools. Yeah, so if you're in a youth group and you're going to be going on that trip, Tony, is now a good time for everyone to come front? You can come front, and we're going to have a word of blessing for everyone that's going on that trip.
So will you join me in prayer? Lord, we just ask for your hand of protection to be on the youth and the leaders as they go. Watch over them, protect them. I just pray that you will grow their faith in you and deepen their spiritual walk in you. I just pray that they will see evidence of you moving each day. I just pray that you will draw them closer to you. And again, just watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming up. So I have some announcements. Our district is putting on the Discovery Series, and I had passed some of these little flyers out to some of you. They are a time of looking at your spiritual gifts and discerning what they are, discovering what they are, and how you can use them to go along with your personality and just different ways that you can grow and learn. So if you have any questions or any desire to go and be a part of the Discovery Series, come see me. I have more information for you. And those of you who I handed out the papers to earlier, your response is due August 1st. So it's just be in prayer about this. Your time is soon running out to those who handed these papers out to. I took that, 15 years ago or so, I did the Discovery Series, and it was very valuable. So I'd encourage you to do that. Last Sunday, Sheldon made an announcement about turning in our pledge cards for our facility upgrade. Just wanted to encourage you to do that if you haven't already, even if you say, well, I can only give $10 a month. We would encourage you to turn them in, even if you can only say, I can only give $10 a month. We just encourage you to do that. July 13th, we are going to be meeting here at church to continuing the discernment process into the call for an associate pastor. So please be in prayer for that that evening. So, Mose, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing about your journey as well. I appreciate that. And it is amazing to see how God works through His Word, and that His Word is living and active. And He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Again, thank you for sharing the accounts of God's transforming work through His Word. So will you stand for the parting benediction? And there are basket offering. We're having a basket offering for the Gideons today. And that money goes towards purchasing and sending the Bibles out. That's what it goes for. So I'd encourage you to give to that. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.